All right. I think you know where I'm going this morning. Psalms 23. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23 this morning, starting there in verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Obviously, back in Psalms 23 this morning, we're getting close to the end of this chapter. Now in verse number 5 is where we're going to be today, the beginning of verse number 5. This is the, if I count them right, this is the 10th message in this series. After today, I think there will be probably 3 more messages to close out the rest of this psalm. I don't know where we're going after this, but I look forward to what the Lord might have for us. And I pray this message this morning might be a help to you. I pray it might be an encouragement to you. I've told you a couple times how I was looking forward to preaching this message. And I hope it lives up to what I said before. I don't know if it will or not, but I hope I can bring it across the way the Lord gave it to me and be a blessing to you today. I didn't know when I first started this series it would be this long. I planned on preaching maybe one message out of each verse at the most, and it keeps growing on me, getting bigger and bigger. But there's a lot here we can learn from. So Lord, so I'm going to cover the next phrase here in Psalms 23 and verse number 5. It's that very first phrase, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Don't mind me swearing, take my jacket off. A little warm here. Got the windows open, it's still a little warm. Just a quick review. What have we studied so far here in Psalms 23? We started there in verse number 1, where the Lord is my shepherd. And y'all know where we've been, but for those that may have not been here before, let's listen in before and review real quick of what we covered. Verse 1, we start with "the Lord is my shepherd." Talk about how important that is and what that means and what that ought to mean to us. We looked at the magnitude of it, how he is such a big, great, big God, yet he chose to humble himself down in position of a shepherd. We talked about what it means to be a shepherd, how shepherds have a lowly life and a lonely life, and it's not worth money. Nobody desires to be a shepherd. You don't see a bunch of kids playing shepherd and sheep. You see cowboys and Indians. Nobody grows up wanting to be a shepherd. It's not a position that is sought out. Yet he chose to become a shepherd only because I was a sheep. He chose to be a shepherd. Don't get me wrong, he's still 100% God, but he chose to call himself a shepherd, a lowly, lowly, lonely position. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If he is your shepherd this morning, then he is enough. We don't need anything else. He's enough this morning. We talked about what it means to be a sheep, how none of us like to be called a sheep. We don't brag about being sheep. You don't see me pulling up in my car that's called a sheep, Pontiac Trans Lam. It's a bad joke there. Anyway, sheep are dumb creatures. We talked about all the different aspects of sheep and how we all, at one point or another, fit into those different aspects of being a sheep. We all, at one time or another, are dumb like sheep is. All, at one time or another, directionless like sheep are, and all those different aspects I talked about. We may not like it, but we are definitely act like sheep at different times. We then looked at what the shepherd does for those sheep. He gives them peace where there is no peace. He makes peace out of nothing. He maketh them to lie down. That powerful, that realizes all the different needs that have to be met before a sheep will ever consider lying down. And then we talk about those green pastures. Now, it may not be what all we imagined or hoped for. That we have to trust and depend on the shepherd for every step of the way, every meal. We have to depend on him. He doesn't save us and plop us down in the middle of the alfalfa field to feast for the rest of our Christian lives. He expects us to trust him, trust in him. That's not how it works for me. I don't know about you. I've never met anybody that has that easy. He does it by the design. It's his own purpose. And we talked, saw where he leadeth me beside the still waters. We talked about that water, how that dew, that still morning dew, can refresh a sheep and keep a sheep going, keep him hydrated. Even in the dry season, he can get refreshed off the morning dew. We talked about those old wells, that kind of still water, how we need to get back to redig the wells of our fathers, Doug. We don't need a new way of worship. We don't need a new Bible and new songs. We just need to redig those old wells we had before. And we looked at those mountain streams. How the shepherd knows just what we need to think about. All those different still waters in the Bible. Then we saw, he says, he restoreth my soul. How David, another chapter of the Psalms, he was cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And God came along and restored him. We talked about how a shepherd will leave the 99 for the one cast sheep, and he'll pick him up, and he'll let the blood start to do its work again and put the sheep back in the fold again. We talked about those paths of righteousness, how he leads. We just have to follow. How it is for his namesake. Everything we do ought to be for his namesake. If we would just trust the shepherd and learn to follow him, he'll show us how and where we need to go. Just have to trust the shepherd. And then we talked about that valley, the shadow of death, that Kidron Valley. How David had some hard times in the valley. We can read about some of those. How he was betrayed by his own son, and he fled through that valley. The Bible says the path he took was the Kidron Valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And David says, Lord, even in that, even though I was fleeing the country from my own kingdom, from my own son, he says, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. If David can do that, what have we to fear? And we talked about how the Lord is not a great high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities there in Hebrews, but as in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Thank God for that. Just walk through the same valley as David did. He walked through as a king on a donkey on Palm Sunday, waiting for his crucified like David. He walked through that valley burdened like David did many times, no doubt. And he walked through that valley betrayed, just like David did. Our shepherd knows what we're going through. If you're going through something today, church, if you're going through something today, the shepherd knows and shepherd understands exactly what you're going through. He cannot be touched with feeling infirmities. He has been there. He understands. You can trust the shepherd. And then we looked at that lastly. We looked at that rod and that staff. And that rod there, that rod being the word of God. It's a sign of authority and power, how it's seen and used for all people, for the good and the bad. The sheep as well as the enemy, he uses the rod. Uses the rod to correct the sheep. Uses the rod to ward off the enemies and beat the enemies. Then we talked about that the rod can be a sign of comfort, but it can also be a two-edged sword for an enemy. Then the staff, we talked about that. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, how it is made. It's made only for the sheep. It's not used on the enemies. It's only for the sheep. It's only used for the shepherd and the sheep. It's something between the shepherd and the sheep and only used in that manner. How it's used for loving the sheep and rescuing the sheep and putting the sheep back together again. What a blessing this is. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that. We've covered a lot in this psalm. Like I said, I didn't realize when we started how much there really would be in this psalm. I've studied Psalm 23 for many years, but I've never studied it this in depth before. And there's a lot here that I've missed over in the past. There's a mouthful in this chapter, but we aren't done yet. Today, let's go look in the next phrase here and see what David has to say. What is he talking about here when he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies? Number one, we need to look at the table. And we studied enough so far in this psalm to know that there's more to this than may immediately meet the eye. One key part here we need to understand is that to unlock this phrase here, thou preparest a table before me, the presence of my enemies. To unlock that phrase, we need to understand what this table is. Now, I'm no shepherd personally, you know that. But how often have you seen a flock of sheep sitting around a dining room table eating their food? Obviously, that doesn't happen. It's not the way it works. So our first reaction to this verse just doesn't make sense in the context of the sheep. Our picture of a table is a dining room table, maybe an offering table there. Obviously, this is not what David, the shepherd, is referring to. Sheep, especially from what we have already learned, these sheep are not even eating in troughs. We may look at a trough as a table for a sheep. That's not even what David's talking about here. These sheep are not at the home pasture, not back home. They're at the barn. They don't have feed troughs to eat from. So you can't even call that their table. We talked about how they're leaving. We know in verse number 4, they're headed out of the home pasture, and they were going through that valley. And where does the valley take you? The valley takes you to the mountaintop, up into the mountain. So we know that's where they're headed. And now David's suddenly talking about a table. Verse number 4, he's headed through the valley, through the wilderness, up into the mountain. And now he's talking about a table. What is going on in this verse? It doesn't make much sense if we don't study it out. We need to look at the context of the rest of this psalm. So what is this table? They're in a valley. They're coming through a valley. The shepherd has his tools like he's planning on being out in the field for a long time. He has that rod and that staff. He's planning on being there with the sheep. And now all of a sudden we have a table. We talked about how these shepherds, in the summer months, they would gather their sheep. And they would head up into the mountains with their sheep for that warm sun. We talked about that. And they'd be in the top of the mountains for their summer months, and they'll head back down when it starts getting cold again. There they could enjoy the better weather, the cooler weather. They could get the nutrients they wouldn't have back at home. They could have a different diet. They could give that home pasture some rest, and the sheep could summer up in these mountains. That's what they used to do, and many still do in Western United States and Southern Europe. Well, these shepherds, they're not just head up to the rocky cliffs of the mountains where nothing grows, obviously. That's no place for a sheep. So where are they going in the mountain? They were headed to these high mountain plateaus. The high mountain summer ranges is what they're called. In the Western United States and in Southern Europe, where a lot of sheep are raised, these high plateaus where they take the sheep are known as mesas. Mesas, in the Spanish, I don't speak Spanish, but it's the best pronunciation I got, is a Spanish word for table. They're also known by the same name in Africa. One very popular one is called Table Mountain. It's just outside of Cape Town, South Africa. It's a huge tourist attraction. You can look at pictures of it online. It looks like a huge table, huge mountain. It's just perfectly flat on top. It's known as a plateau, a tableland, a mesa. I personally believe this is what David is referring to here in this Psalms 23. It makes sense in the rest of the context of the passage. Verse number 4, they're headed out through the valley into the mountain. Obviously, it makes sense that they're going to be on top of the mountain in the next verse. And David, being the shepherd he was, would know all about the practice of doing this in the summer. The path to these tablelands is very difficult. They're not easy to get to. You might have to walk through the valley of shadow of death to get to it. The shepherd may have to use that rod and staff at different times to rescue you. But once you come through that valley, it does say that in verse 4, through the valley, you step foot on that tableland, it makes the entire climb worth it. For the sheep, once they walk through that valley, that's the first time they have seen this table. As the shepherd brings them to it, expanses open up, a big tableland with food and water and different things the sheep's going to need for the rest of their summer. This is their summer home. This is their first glimpse of what it's going to be like. But David here says, thou preparest a table before me. If a shepherd is going to bring sheep to a tableland that is prepared, that means the shepherd apparently has already been there to prepare it. So what is he talking about? He prepared the table before him. He did it in front of him. It's already done, and he brings him to it, and he prepares it more in front of him. He's number two. Number one, we saw the table. Number two, we see the preparation of the table. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me. Long before the sheep get there, his shepherd has been up through that valley. He has been to this tableland. He has spent some time there in this tableland. He has surveyed land. He has to decide where to take. He's not going to go off in the middle of nowhere with the sheep. He's going to have a plan of how to get there and where he's going. He has a plan of where he's going. He's surveyed the land before. These shepherds will do this towards the end of winter. While there's still snow on the mountain, they can't take the sheep yet. They would climb themselves up through that valley of the shadow of death on their own, up into the tableland. They would look it over and prepare it for their sheep. He's going to survey it over to find the best places for him and the sheep to stay. He's going to find the best table to bring them to. Once he decides on the place, he'll come back once or twice more, and once the snow has melted, to prepare this place before the sheep. The shepherd will bring along a lot of, many times I've read about through different shepherds, they would bring a lot of salt and minerals up into that tableland, and they would place them in strategic locations amongst in that tableland. He places in strategic spots to nourish and bless the sheep. The sheep find a mineral lick in special spots. You get these extra special blessings in the middle of nowhere because the shepherd put them there. Those blessings you didn't plan on getting, it just showed up. I didn't know if I was going to say this or not, but we gave something a while back to a missionary. God told us to do it, so we did it. And didn't tell anybody else about it. Said the missionary, we just gave because God told us to. And just a couple days ago, Nellie got a call. The Lord used somebody on the other side of the country to replace with her and a couple other people to replace exactly what we gave away. And how does that happen? A shepherd has prepared the table before us. He knew what would happen in the valley. He knew that we would give. And he placed an extra special blessing in the tableland just for us to replenish what we lost coming through that valley. He prepares a table before me. Those sheep have come through that valley. They've had a hard walk through that valley, valley of shadow of death. They're going to need those extra special, but they're going to need that salt. They're going to need those minerals to replenish what they've lost. And the shepherd has placed them in the tableland for those sheep. The shepherd not only places the salt and minerals to bless the sheep, replenish what they've lost. He decides where they're going to stay. He decides where to set up camp so the sheep can rest comfortably. Now that the snow is gone, the shepherd will check the land over for different poisonous weeds, different plants that may hurt the sheep. If he finds some, he'll plan a way to keep the sheep out of them, or he'll go through and he'll remove every one of them to protect the sheep. One shepherd I read from talked about having to do this every spring. He said their land had a bunch of flowers known as the blue, and then there's some white camas. He said the blue camas were beautiful, and they would bloom in the spring on the beaches, and they were good for the sheep to eat. However, he found out the hard way the white camas were pretty to look at, but they are deadly to sheep, especially to a lamb. I don't know why they're so deadly, but they said they contain a poison that's literally deadly to a lamb. If he even nibbles the edge of these flowers, pretty soon he's going to be paralyzed on his back, and he's going to die. He's going to die that way. So this shepherd, once he found that every spring, he would gather his kids, and they would heave off to this pasture, and they'd spend weeks, or at least a week, bent over on their hands and knees, plucking up these flowers from this tableland so the sheep would be taken care of when they got there. He's preparing the table before his sheep. What was he doing? Preparing the table before his sheep. David, I believe as he's writing this psalm, he's probably thinking back to the time as his time as a shepherd and all the time and effort he spent preparing that tableland for those sheep, how much work and sacrifice he put in to prepare for the sheep, how much work he put in. How often has our great shepherd gone before us and spent time before us and sacrificed before us, preparing our table, preparing our way? I can think of one very special sacrifice he made to prepare our way that we celebrated last Sunday morning. He knows what we face because he's been there before. He's outside of time. He can be in the future, in the present, the past, all at the same time. He knows what is ahead. He knows what may hurt us, and he has either removed it or he's prepared a way for us to stay away from it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God knows where we're headed. He knows what lies ahead. He is aware of the temptations that we may face. He knows what's going on. He is aware of what's going on. He is the shepherd, and he's been there before. He knows what we're going to face in the tableland, and he has gone ahead. He's prepared a place for us to stay away from the trouble. He's prepared us a way to stay clean and stay healthy. A biblical example of this is Peter. Over in Luke, Jesus warns him of some temptations he might face, and Peter was going to deny. Jesus told Peter he's going to deny the Lord three times before the rooster crowed. And look at what Jesus tells Peter right before that ever happened, right before he told him that. Luke 22:31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus says, Peter, Satan's going to tempt you, but I have prayed for thee. Imagine that, Jesus Christ praying to the Father for Peter. He says that the faith fell not. Lord allowed Satan to tempt Peter. Those poisonous flowers, they weren't all pulled up, but he prayed for him. And over in 1 Corinthians, we know he made a way of escape for him. Even the tableland, even that high mountaintop experience, even there has temptations. But the shepherd has gone ahead, and he has prepared a place for us. He's prepared a way of escape. He has prepared, even prayed here in this passage, Peter's faith was sent to test. How many times has Jesus prepared a way for us? How many times has he prayed for us? That's something to think about. He is no respecter of persons. If he does it for Peter, why wouldn't he do it for us? How many times has he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies? And we just walk on through like it just happened. Well, that worked out pretty well. How did that just worked out? The Lord prepared it that way. That life just happens that way sometimes. The Lord did something. The Lord prepared it for you. How many times have we been made late or gotten delayed for some reason? Back in North Carolina, it was always because of the traffic. Thankfully, we don't have that problem here. I'm glad we don't. But how many times have you been delayed, and then you find out it was God keeping you from trouble? I remember, I think it was one Sunday night, me and Eddie first got married. We went to leave church, and we got delayed. I don't even remember how. We were delayed waiting for something or somebody. We did leave just a few minutes later and got to an intersection just up the road where a wreck had literally just taken place. No one else was around, just the wreck and a couple other families helping the ones wrecked. The paramedics hadn't got there yet. We went, we helped out. It was an older couple that needed help. If it had not been for the delay, that could have been us. And we walked away that night realizing the Lord spared us from that accident. Sometimes God is preparing the table ahead of us, and we don't even know about it. We don't even realize what he's doing. He's preparing something for us. He's taking care of things that we don't even know need to be taken care of. He has it under control. Thou preparest a table before me. We take so much for granted. How much of that, the salt and the minerals, those unexpected blessings, how much of that do we take for granted? How much do we take the credit for ourselves? Well, I worked hard for that. The Lord blessed you with that. Over and over again, the Lord has prepared for us. He's prepared the blessings. He prepares the ways of escape from temptations. We take it for granted every time. We take it for granted what the Lord has done for us, what the shepherd has gone ahead and sacrificed for us so we can be taken care of. You want the Lord to bless you and open your eyes and look around. He already is blessing. He already has blessed you. We just take it for granted. He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord is taking care of. The shepherd knows what's up ahead. There's more to this here. It says, in the presence of mine enemies. What is that talking about? What is his enemies? In the presence of mine enemies, what is he talking about? We don't like to think about it. We do have enemies, namely Satan and his demons. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. We would rather the shepherd just kill the enemy and let us be on a tableland in peace. That's not his plan. Not for now, anyway. There will come a day when he's going to do just, he's going to kill, going to get rid of the enemy for eternity. I'm looking forward to that day, but for now, he allows the enemy to live here on earth. So what does this have to do with sheep? What is David talking about here? What does it have to do with David being the sheep? One more job of the shepherd up in this tableland as he is preparing. He is looking for signs of predators. He's looking for the wolf and the bears and the mountain lions or whatever else may try to come in and kill his sheep while he's up there in the summertime. Oftentimes, the shepherd will find some, will have to kill some, eradicate some of that problem, whatever he has to do to get rid of them. But you all here know well there's no way he could kill all the wolves and all the bears and whatever else is hiding up in those mountains. There's no way one man could take care of the entire population of those animals. It's often those animals that will hide up in what they call the rim rock up on the top of the edge of this tableland. Those thick, jagged rocks on the edge overlooking the tablelands. The enemy will hide. And he'll look down that table at those sheep and try to figure out his best way to how he can tempt them, how he can get them, how he can get them away from the shepherd so he can scoop them up and kill them. One shepherd wrote about his trouble with cougars. He said he had a few encounters with what he believed to be the cougar. He said it would happen at night up in those tablelands. He said those outlying sheep, the independent ones, would wander away from the shepherd. He said the cougars would be up in those rocks looking down at the sheep, and when the shepherd was asleep, the sheep had wandered too far from the shepherd. He said those cougars would come sneak down to the tableland quietly and would snag the sheep and rip them up and tear them up and get them out of there, make a mess of things. That's how he knew it was cougars, the mess they left behind. He said they were so skillful and they were so aware of the shepherd and where he was at that he never saw one of them. He never witnessed the cougar. He never witnessed this happen. He just saw the aftermath. The sheep that were safe were ones that stayed close to the shepherd. Now, I'm glad that our shepherd is always aware. Our shepherd's a little different than an earthly shepherd. I thank God for that. Satan can't do anything that our shepherd isn't aware of. But he doesn't stop all of Satan's attacks. We see that in the story of Job. He limited him, but he didn't stop him. See that example of Peter just a minute ago. He allowed him to tempt Peter. How do we as sheep steer clear of these enemies up in the mountaintop? Stay close to the shepherd. You stay in his word. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. Trust him. Stay as close as you can to him. Even in the mountaintop, there's still temptations. There's still enemies. But one thing is for sure, we still have a shepherd, and he knows what we need. Even those good times of life, those high mountain times in life, there's still, excuse me, there's still going to be temptations. There's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be an enemy. But the shepherd has been there before. He knows where the dangers are. He knows where the blessings are because he put them there. He knows where the enemies are at all times. He's aware of what's going on. He will not allow you into a situation or a temptation without a way of escape, according to 1 Corinthians. He promises that. The Lord is in control. He's so much in control that he can prepare a table before us while the enemy is watching. They know we are there. They know we are coming. They want to harm us. But as long as we're in the presence of the shepherd, they cannot touch us. This makes me think of Daniel in the lion's den. The lion wanted all. Some talk about how the lion became friendly like it was when Adam first was in the garden. I don't believe that. If that was the case, they wouldn't have to shut the lion's mouth. I think those lions wanted with all their heart to eat Daniel, but they couldn't open their mouth. I believe it's the same way here. The Lord is preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The enemy wants with everything he has, he wants to destroy our lives. He wants to get rid of us. But if you're saved this morning, if you're close to the shepherd, saved this morning in his hands, he cannot pull you out of his hands. You're going to be taken care of. He can prepare the table before he can bless you and use your life in the face of the enemy. The enemy knows we're there. They want to harm us. But as long as we're in the presence of the shepherd, he cannot touch us. I like how David punctuates that. He makes a point of pointing that out there. Not only does he prepare a table before us, David says he does it in the presence of mine enemies, right in front of them, right in front of their eyes. They can't do anything about it. David says they're right there, and there's nothing they can do. They can't hurt me. I'm with the shepherd. Josie, many times, she wants to hold her hand, especially back when we had ice. She wouldn't walk down the ramp without holding her hand. She learned that the hard way because she would fall on her face every time. She always wanted to hold her hand. If we're on a boat, she wants to hold her mom's hand. She's afraid of falling out. If in her place it's hard to walk, big rocks or stumps, somebody wants to hold my hand. Why does she do that? Because she knows as long as she's holding on to one of us, we aren't going to let her fall and get hurt. She knows on her own she's going to fall for sure. She does every time. As long as she's holding on to us, she's going to be okay. David says here, he prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the last verse, he said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. What is David doing here in these verses? What is he doing? Where is the sheep at in these verses? He's right up next to the shepherd. He's holding the shepherd's hand, if you want to put it that way. Not literally, but he's close to the shepherd. He's depending on the shepherd. Can I tell you this morning, if you'll just stay close by the shepherd, stay as close as you can to him. Don't wander too far away from him. Stay in his word. Keep praying. Stay faithful to his word. Stay faithful to him. Don't wander too far off from him. You can be safe. Just want to hold his hand. He'll lead you through the valley, into the tableland, into the mountaintop tableland. He's already been there before. He's already prepared. He knows what's ahead. You can trust the shepherd because he has prepared it before you. One thing about these shepherds, they had to make sacrifices in order to prepare this tableland. He had to sacrifice his time and his finances. Many times he had to work to pull up those poisonous plants to get rid of the trouble. He sacrificed for these sheep more than the sheep ever realized. The sheep didn't go up and thank the shepherd for his preparing of the table before him. He just did it because he loved him. He just enjoyed the fruits of his labor. Can I remind you this morning, as I said it before, just last week we celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. One shepherd made a huge sacrifice for us sheep. He sent his only son. He gave his only son to bleed and to die and to turn his back on his own son for a short time so he could take on our sins and your sins, my sins. Our shepherd has sacrificed more than we will ever realize just for us, just so we can eat at that table. When's the last time you thanked him for it? When's the last time you thanked him for the sacrifice he made? When's the last time you realized how much the Lord has blessed him? When's the last time you stopped and realized what he's done for you? When's the last time you thanked him? When's the last time you thanked him for that? Those times he gave you a way of escape and kept you out of trouble? Have you thanked him? Have you realized what he's doing for you, church? We have a good shepherd. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's taken care of us, and he has loved us and allowed us to enjoy the blessings of his sacrifice. We have a good shepherd. He's willing to give to us, willing to sacrifice for us, willing to bless us. It's because he wants to, not because we deserved it. These sheep, many shepherds wouldn't do this in the summertime with their sheep. They wouldn't go up into the high mountain ranges, especially if it was a hired hand. Why would he put in more work and more effort for the same pay if it wasn't his sheep? It was the good shepherds that chose to do that. Why did they do that? They did it for the betterment of the sheep. They did it because they loved the sheep and wanted to see the sheep do well, wanted to see the sheep enjoy their life and grow and prosper and be nourished and healthy. They did it for the love of the sheep. When's the last time you thanked him for it, church? When's the last time you realized how much he's blessed you? When's the last time you realized how much he's blessed this church here? He's taken care of us over and over and over again. He's prepared the way for us over and over again. When's the last time we thanked him?